Our precious Heavenly Father, we ask that your Spirit would be with the hearer and the speaker for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. You that have your Bibles, if you want to turn to Romans 3:21. That's Romans 3:21. We are now leaving the condemnation and going to justification. We've demonstrated it as my father always demonstrated it with these five chairs up here. He always put the human race in that first chair, condemned. Condemned to the wrath of God. It's something that man has got because of how God created him. See, God didn't create the animals like he created man. He breathed an existence into it. That's the reason. Abel, it would have did him what if he would have testified to Cain the way was the blood way, which evidently he did when they talked. And Cain was wroth over it. But why suffer and be killed if it's just over when you die? He knew that. He knew it wasn't over when you die. And it, of course, isn't. So, we've ended this condemnation part. And I will read starting with verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, notice it's this time, and 24 says, but now, not then, but now, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude, and this we is anybody that sees the grace of God, that understands justification. Are you in that we? Is that your conclusion finally? Justification is by one thing, faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. But we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we, these that know justification only comes by faith in the blood, are the only ones that establish or know what the law is about. We know that we cannot keep that law apart from the life of Jesus Christ. We know that that man that sits in that condemnation chair, we've showed that the first man, it was his conscience and creation. If he'd never heard the gospel, which a lot of people haven't, they're in hell right now, but they're not going to be judged for not for turning down the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not going to be judged for that, he says. They're going to be judged according to looking at this creation out there and knowing there's a God and their conscience. And each and every one of you that's any age, you know that day you sinned against your conscience. You might have been in the state of innocence, but you still knew what you were doing. So, and then the next man is the moral man that condemns that ungodly man that's so loose in his morals. He condemns that man. He says, "Who are you that condemneth another?" See, he's not trying to help him. He says, "This guy makes me look a lot better." And he is that self-righteous man. He sits in that chair with that immoral man we found out. And then he goes to the religious man, because God only give a religion to the Jews. He never give it to anybody else, though all the Gentiles know. Most of you are Gentiles here tonight. Do you know the Ten Commandments? Almost, mainly. See? Through what he give them. So, we read the last five verses there. Before this, and the whole world is guilty before God, there isn't one person that isn't going to go to hell. So they sat in that chair. Now, this 24th verse, he says, but now, not then, but now. The righteousness of God without the law is manifest. Now, God commandeth all men to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. That's a direct statement now in Acts. See, all this winking of and not completely explain the way of is over. God commandeth all men to repent and to believe on his Son. That's what now is. So, we leave the, from 116, if you go back to 116, verse 15, 17, you'll see that there, he proclaimed the whosoever gospel. He said that this is the power of salvation. This is the way through the gospel that this is revealed to man. Then he stops and goes to this condemnation. He has to go to that as he proclaims this gospel, the whosoever gospel. It is the power of salvation to anyone that believes. The just, and he ends it, the just shall live, quotes the Old Testament, by faith. And then he puts everybody, the first phase of that gospel has to put everybody in that chair. and show that everybody starts with the beginning of the power of that gospel. And now, but now, he comes back and starts to explain justification. How you're justified. He gives you 11 verses here that you could read and study for the rest of your life on justification. But what good would it have been for Paul to say, now I have a revelation, nobody's ever been justified except through faith in the blood. Back then, from the first time with Abel, in the blood, all the way through in the blood, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. But what good would have it did after God giving the law for him to get up with these 11 verses and quote them? They said, oh, they say it anyway. So he proves it in the Old Testament. He will go first to Abraham and show that Abraham was justified by faith alone and not anything he did. Then he'll go to David and prove that a man under the law that should have been executed under the law found grace and through faith alone was justified. Then he'll go back to Abraham and continue to show that justification is by faith and faith alone in the work of Jesus Christ and the work of Jesus Christ alone. I had a woman lately that has heard what I've told other people, because I had never talked to her. And she come right up to me and says, are you telling me that if I just believe in Jesus, I'll just go to heaven like that? And I said, well, yeah, that's the way it is. She said, that's too easy. I said, have you did it yet? Well, no. I said, I thought it was easy. Huh? Real easy, isn't it? To give up all your self-righteousness and to completely trust in another. It isn't as easy as you think it is. If it was that easy, everybody could have done it a long time ago. We try to reason. But here he says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He says there always was just one way. There never was two ways, even under the law or the prophets. Because nobody ever kept the law. Now, justification is, it's imputed to us because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He puts his righteousness on you. That's what it is. His very righteousness is imputed. It's imparted at the same time, but that's the sanctification. He is dealing here with imputation of Christ's righteousness. And then, as we get over into the fifth chapter, he'll say, in the fourth chapter, he'll say it is counted. In other words, he takes Christ's righteousness, imputes it to you, which is to your account, and then counts you righteous. He, that is the Holy Spirit, used many, many ways to demonstrate that. His first demonstration was with our grandparents, Adam and Eve. He should have killed him. We're going to read here. And if we get to the 26th verse, he says, the 25th and 6th, it says that he put off judgment. Israel was under the law. He didn't kill them all. He didn't kill David. He didn't, as far as killing that day, Adam and Eve. It says he forbore their sin. And it's the righteousness of God we'll study there. You see, God would have never been righteous had he not forgiven sins. And you'll notice it's the righteousness of God. And he was righteous in doing so. He knew absolutely what would happen to the human race. He loved the human race. He had already made a way for your sin before this world was ever created. He's righteous. He's love. But how could he be just in doing so? It was only through his son, as we'll see. He took those skins of those animals. They seen something else died. And he covered them. They tried to make their self-righteous leaves. He covered them with a skin. He never asked them to do a thing again. The only thing that they had to do was to put them on. Nadab and Abihu, they were buried in their righteous. He told Moses, you bury him in the linen. See, that is Christ's righteousness. It's been imputed to us. We wear that. He sees us in that. His righteousness. But that wouldn't, what good would that do if we walked out after he did that and we still hated him? Understand that. That's the impartation. That's when he puts his very son's life in there that can do nothing else but love him if you yield to him. So both happen at the same time. But here, he's dealing with justification. Now to see that we stand alone in Christ, his work, and forever we stand because he was raised from the dead, and in that life and that justification, that, when you see it, is understanding justification. Very few people understand justification. They never get out of that chair. They're born in that chair. They think they can go back to that chair, some of them, which they never do. But they think they can get back in that chair. Most of them do. And because they never understand the chair they're sitting in, they can't ever get up and go into this chair. Because they cannot grasp what has just been said here. They can't grasp it. But if you go back to what he was saying before, he said it was by the power of God, this gospel is preached and then it is revealed. You take a person that they're told by their church that eternal security is eternal security. And they'll believe it up to a point. But why is it that they'll go over to the Assemblies of God and they'll get in with them, and in 2 weeks they think they could be lost? Because it was never revealed to them. If it's ever revealed to you, then you'll grasp it. And it'll never leave you. You'll know that. That's something that you will know. See, you're quoting what other people are quoting. It's got to be revealed to you for you to grasp it. That I am justified, I could never be justified any more than I am. I could never be any more of a saint than I am. I could never get any more righteous than His righteousness. But the one is imputed and the one is implanted. That is the incorruptible seed that is implanted. And it's a perfect seed, but it isn't a mature seed. That's why the word perfect, it doesn't mean it says, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. It means to mature in all the capability that you can. And what is the capability that you can? You can grow to the full stature of Christ. That is, develop perfectly. Now, you can't become Christ. But you can develop to the full stature of a complete, perfect grown. Now, these babies we have, they're perfect human beings, but they're just not mature. When you were born again, you were a perfect child of God. But you just haven't grown up. So now he says that it was witnessed in the Old Testament that righteousness was without the law. Though half the Old Testament is under the law. That's what they preach. They preach the justification was by faith and faith alone. And that's why Paul uses, as he closes his introduction, for wherein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So there was never another way. Everybody had to believe, and whether they could put it together, and the Holy Spirit would put it together, and He did put it together. He put it together for Adam and Eve. We should have died, but these animals died. It covered us. It was a durable covering. And then the seed. The Holy Spirit would speak to them. This seed, if they would have listened to what He said, they would have realized He was going to be born of a virgin and that He would die on a cross. Because that's what He told them. So this is the gospel. But now, see, now it's really revealed. It was hid in those times. There was, all these things were hid. They didn't realize real fully that the Messiah would be divine. The Jews, they still can't swallow it. That's why they'll go out at the end and start baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They'll finally say, it's a Trinity. They won't accept that right now. Talk to them. Talk to Arthur. He'll tell you, no, they're not going to accept that. The manna. It wasn't known that it was a gold bowl until the New Testament. He's never really seen as divine till now. But now, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Now, we're going to get into, Lord willing, we'll get into 5:19. That's Romans 5:19. And there, 5:17 through 19. And a lot of people will try to tell you that some people didn't become sinners because they, and the ones that were sinners couldn't become saints because of predestination according to sovereignty, not the whosoever gospel, whosoever believes. And we'll get to that. They'll say, many stay sinners. Well, many stay sinners, if you read 17, it's because they did not receive it. He's not saying that nobody had a choice there as they grab every little thing like that to twist it. He's merely saying they stayed sinners, many stay sinners because they do not receive the everlasting gospel of whosoever believeth. That's the reason. And Lord willing, we'll see what that is. And it's because they say stay sinners is because they don't receive grace. See, it says we are saved through faith, by grace, through faith. It's a gift. And did you know a lot of people turned down that gift? Now that girl, she was turning down that gift. That's too easy. See, just to take a gift. I got to do something. Yeah, take the gift. That's what you got to do. See? And once you take that, this is what he's saying here. You have the very righteousness of God. And this is hard. Just believe. Yeah, just believe it. Which is 22. The righteousness which is by faith of. Now there's a lot of. If you want to start. Well, some of these. Commentaries that they get into, you know, all the Greek and all this. I haven't studied little few Greek words, but I can tell you I don't know a lot of Greek. And they argue over the faith of or in Jesus Christ here. And I can bring you commentaries on 2 pages of this. Just over this, whether it's in or of Jesus Christ. And that's what you can get into. If you want to study the rest of your life at being something like that, and there will be a lot of people that think you're really something, you know, because they don't know a word you're saying. And that's the reason. See? Like Brother Copley used to call it, cookies on the shelf. You know? If you can't explain it, you're a dunce. If you're the greatest speaker in the world, and you get up and not a soul understood what you said, what's that? So, only thing I can say, it had to be the faithfulness of Jesus that we put our faith in. So it's both. So why argue? It's just common sense that it's His faithfulness of Christ, and that's who I have mine in of what He does. Unto all and up all and upon them that believe. Notice, it's not the faithfulness of the all, or what they've did or what they haven't did. Not to them. It isn't their faithfulness. It's that they just simply believe of what He did. That's how simple salvation is. And there's no difference. It's just if you believe. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And He's just went through proving, bringing everybody to the bar and set them in that chair. Regardless of who they were, they sat in that chair. One sin, and they sat in that chair. They proved that they're a sinner by one sin. God, see, that's the reason it's so. Some people don't understand why God wouldn't praise somebody, like if Adam would have perfected the perfect human nature. God wouldn't have praised him. Why would He praised him? He made him that way that He could. That's what He expected. You see? It says He's going to judge you when you do wrong. He didn't tell Adam to do right. He created him that way. That's what he was to do. He told him not to do wrong. And that's the very thing he did. And that's what, from that time on, he was a sinner. Being just, 24, being justified freely. This is the same word. Like I said, I'm no Greek student, but it is the same word as they hated me without a cause. That cause. There was no cause. By His grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. This grace flows just in one channel, in one way. It flows just one way from God. It never flows back from us to Him. And it only flows through one person, His Son. That's why He told them, from here on, you'll see the angels ascending and descending upon the Lord Jesus. Down at the camp, I heard a little of it. You see, with Jacob, there was a ladder there. But as Christ explained it, He is what that has meant. He is the one that all the promises go from Him and come back to Him. It's ascending and descending constantly, but just through Him. See? He is the one and only. There is no other channel. It isn't Mary, Mother of God. Pray for us sinners. Now, some of them probably are saints there. See? But still sinners. They can't escape it there. Pray for us sinners. Now and in the hour of our death. And they go over it and over it and over it. That's a prayer of what? Huh? Not a, what this is saying. This says that it only is through Him, and it only will come one way through Him. That isn't Mary standing there in that on that ladder that Jacob had. That's Jesus. And He said, it's me. And me only. So, I've ran out of time, so I was hoping that, but there's a lot of words here. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiatory. Now, this is not this is the only time this word is in the Bible. The other propitiatory or propitiation is in the Bible, but it isn't the same word. There it means the brazen altar. This is in the holies of holies. This is on the mercy seat. This is like Paul said, me, the less of all saints, is this grace given to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. See, he's bringing you into this. Now, he is with justification, but he's trying, the brazen altar is where it was slain. The mercy seat is the value of the blood. And as Dad used to say on that, he said, as Paul announced the riches unto me who am least than all saints, is this here grace given to preach the unsearchable riches that are in Christ Jesus. He said, what a glory hole. It's open. A glory hole that you can't even imagine is opened here. Because he has did this. And then there's just too much here. I cannot get into. Now, I told my wife, I said, well, maybe I'll just go over it quick and just, I counted and I thought, well, I could get done in eight more times. And if I just gave, she said, well, you'd have to give the eighth chapter, that whole eighth chapter in one lesson. And I said to her, I thought, well, how am I going to do that? And I thought, well, I'd really need the Holy Spirit to do that, wouldn't I? Stephen did it. He gave the whole history in a few words in less than that much time. I don't think the Lord's going to let me do that. But we will get into the righteousness of God right here. A lot of people say, well, this is the righteousness we got. But remember, in these next verses, we are going to talk about the righteousness of God. That nobody there will say to him, you knew that these millions of people that would be in hell, and you went ahead and did this. What kind of a righteous God would have known about that and yet did that? See, there's some people tell you, he's too righteous, he can't send people to hell. It's his righteousness that's going to send them there. But we'll see that not only was he just, and the justifier in forgiving all of their sins, up to that point, that is Israel's sins, without killing them, like he said he should have killed them, and that he covered, notice, he covered all their sins up to the time that Christ was come, and then Christ put them away. But how could he cover these sins? We know that the devil, he fought with Moses. His body. He fought over this legal thing. And it had to be a legal thing. Because how could God be righteous How could he be righteous and resurrect Moses, a sinner? But he did it. We know he did it way before time. And the devil brought charges against this, saying that God wasn't a just God or a holy God in not judging that. But you see that he imputed already his righteousness of his son to Moses. He took it out of his account, Christ's account, the riches, the glory hole. But that's just the surface, you see. That's just the surface of this great salvation. But he took and wrote a check at way before seemingly he had anything in that account. And that's what the fuss was. But with God, it was as good as done, wasn't it? It was as good as done. But now, all that's over with. You people already know how much is in that account. And as like Dad used to tell you, what have you wrote? A check for 50 cents? You got the story, some of you. I know there's some of you not knowing what I said. But most of you, I see you smiling. You know exactly what, don't you, Rick? He was saying. You say, well, I wrote one for a dollar, huh? Brother McLam, will you come on up here? Carrie wants to be prayed for. Joe's going to get her. Scott?